The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
So I just wanted to follow up on this discussion that we had last time. And basically what we concluded, I believe, from the very beginning, the first few paragraphs, I guess, here in the Chovos HaLevavos, was the idea that one, a human being has to trust someone. By definition, today, the whole day long, I was trusting when I come home tonight, I have something to eat. Now, who I was trusting exactly, I'm not sure, whether I was trusting the pizza shop at Erev Pesach or my wife. But we basically live, we're beings of trust. You assume you're going to have a place to sleep tonight, and you assume you're going to be able to breathe the next minute. And so the Chovos HaLevavos says that if you don't put your trust in someone. Therefore, if you don't trust, put your trust in the Rabbeinu Shalalem, you perforce will put your trust someplace else because you have to be trusting something. Yes, so you have to be trusting something, so you'll do it the other way. Fine, okay. If that's the case, so we said, and then the Chovos HaLevavos says that if, in fact, you take your trust away from Hashem, then he will put you in the hands of the one you trust in. Since you have to trust someone, so you take your trust away from Hashem, so you're trusting your stock portfolio, you're trusting your money in the bank, you're trusting your rich father-in-law, you're trusting whatever it is. Whatever you're trusting, it's that which he will put you in the hands of that thing that you trust. So then we had a question, is the thing that you trust, let's say you're trusting your stock, your investments, your money, does it mean it puts you in the hands of that means that the teva will take over, the natural occurrences will take place? Sometimes you make money, you lose money, or will it perforce be bad? So we came to the conclusion, we read the psukim and what he brings, that when he puts you in the hands of the market or of the money or of the father-in-law or of the PhD or of the MBA from Harvard, you're doomed. Because not only does that not have any power, because the power is all his and he takes care of everything, but you have lost the merit to get extra protection and help because you've taken your trust away from Hashem and put it in something which is just nothing. So it means it's not just a part of a situation where statistically you have a chance to win or to lose. It's a loss. That's what it is. That's the way we. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hashem puts your trust in that other. You put
your trust in something else, and he puts you in the hands of, oh, you trust your portfolio? Okay, well, let's see how you fare in the hands of your portfolio. Yes. So I had a question. The question is, does that mean the laws of nature will take over, and sometimes the portfolio works, and sometimes it doesn't? Or does it mean for sure it'll be no good? And we saw from the Chovos HaLevavos, from the psukim that he brings, that it means it won't work. You'll be in trouble. So we explained the reason you'll be in trouble is because you're trusting something that has no power. There is no power in a stock portfolio. There is no power in wealth. There is no power in your MBA from Harvard. The only what? No. Oh, so it does work sometimes. So there, the pshat is like this: it works sometimes because it only works. So we brought a mishnah. It was a whole discussion. I don't want to repeat the whole discussion, but it works sometimes because it works. There is a nature. There is a natural appearance, but that's because a person has a schus. In other words, Hashem makes it that there should be an apparent teva. There's an apparent teva the way the world works. However, to win in that teva, to be successful in that teva, it's with your schus, with the merit that you have, rather than just the fact that the laws of nature work. The laws of nature do not work. They only work through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he applies the people to those laws according to their merit. However, he created the world with this facade of laws because he wants the world to work in natural form. I guess, on a deeper level, that the real test in life is to live in a natural world and then to still appreciate the supernatural. Because if we live in a supernatural world, well, there's two things I would say. Number one, if we live in the supernatural world, then it's no big test to appreciate the supernatural because I see Hashem all the time. Of course, we found in our history that there was still a test in that. But then I guess the other flip side of that is, imagine if we saw blatant miracles today and we still behave the way we do. Oy va voy, what we would be going through, right? At least now I got an excuse. you know, I don't see miracles. I don't really know. I know I have to search, I have to look, I have to think. It's hidden. So at least I have a teretz, or at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite mercy will allow that teretz to pass. You know, it'll get us off a little bit. You know, it'll mitigate the sentence because, yeah, you really didn't say, you know, people say, yeah, I didn't realize. I didn't know. I didn't know you were so serious about it. I didn't really, you know, I had questions, I had this. So I guess it works both ways. But
that's not believing anymore. Knowing. That was, I think,
that's right. That's right. Like, that's right. You would take away some of the bechira there, but all right, that's a difficult concept. Yeah, because that's a little bit difficult concept because it seems they had bechira in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar also. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of 40 years tells them, "V'yodato hayoyim ashivoyse elavovecho, know it this day and return it to your heart." Ki Hashem Elokim, they knew it. It was a fact. They spoke to him. They heard Anoichi v'lo yielucho. They ate mon every day for breakfast. They had the slov. They had the beer. They had the Yaakovit. The amudesh. And yet he had to tell them, "Ashivoyse elavovecho, return." Who could lose it? What are you telling me to return it? Yeah, but it can go away as fast as it comes. So this is the human being. Anyway, you go ahead.
Does that mean that, let's say, you go after one of these things you mentioned, like a degree or something, mm-hmm. but your trust isn't in that. Your trust is still in Hashem. That's just a means
of... That's right. And that you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to do because that is... the proper thing to do.
In other words, just sit down.
That's right. But that's all part. Do you know what the hishtadlus is? According to our thesis that we created here, hishtadlus is part of the facade of teva. There's a facade called teva. There's a facade of nature. The world, oilam kimin hogum noheg. We'll see. I'll quote a gemara about it now. It's very interesting. You hear oilam kimin hogum noheg. The world goes according to its normal way. There's a certain teva. Yeah. So included in that facade is if you want to make a lot of money, go into the professions that offer a lot of money. If you want to be successful, do this. If you want to hit this bottom line, you got to do that. There is a certain teva, but that teva is really a facade. It's just the way Hashem organizes things. That those people who have the merit to be granted those things, he manages. We don't know how. I can't figure out how he plays his game. But then again, you know, we can't. But he manages to put the two together. But the reality is that everything comes with his gzera. I think there's a very vivid way of looking at this, and I'd like to share that with you because it's a piece that we spent some time with last time, and I'd like to build it. Tana Rabbona. This is a Gemara, a Braisa, which is brought in the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, Daf Nun Dalid. Omid Beis. Tona Rabbonin. Sholu philosophin es haskeinim b'roimi. The philosophers asked the elders in Rome, if your God does not approve of idol worship, why does he just get rid of it? You know, he's God. He's control. Why does he just get rid of it? Omer lehem, ilu ledover she'ein ho'olam tzerech lo hoyu oivdin harehu mevatlo. Excuse me. Harei hein oivdin lachom of la lavon of a kachom of azolis. Yoiva doi lomai mipnei hashoitim. He says, if that's the case, you should get rid of the sun and the moon and the stars, and the whole world will be destroyed because of these fools that worship them. Molehen in kain yoiva dova she ain't sarach lo olam. The aniach dova she tzarach lo. So let it be selective. Those things that the world needs, don't get rid of the sun, even though they're sun worshippers. But the stupidities, the little statues, and the things that they don't need, get rid of them. Ormelo af onu machzikin yedei ovdehen shel elu she'oimim teidu shehein elikus shareyein loy botu. He says, okay, so this is a different, I made a mistake. Ormelo ilu davu she'en lamon tzorchem hoi ovdehen harayofa, elo oilam, so he says, so what's the teretz? Why doesn't he select and get rid of something? Elo oilam kimin hogo noyheg, v'shoytim shel kilkulu asidin litnes hadin. The world goes according to its natural state. There is such a thing as the teva. We'll see in a moment. There is such a thing. The world goes its way. And the fools that abuse it, they'll be punished. That's all. I'm not going to change my world. I'm not going to change the laws of nature, so to speak, and the world that I have just for these fools. Dover Acher. Harisha Gozel so shall chit beholach vizoro bekarka din hu shalai tatitzmach. You steal some wheat seeds, and you plant it, and it grows. It shouldn't grow. Yeah, the stolen goods. This is where I'm getting to because there's a Rashi here. A person does a Mises Nus. Din hu shloi tisaber. She shouldn't become pregnant. He did an Aveira, right? Elo oilam kimin hogu noyeg vehoilech. The world goes according to its ways. Vesheitim shekilkul asidin litnes adin. Okay. Elo shem. Then he says, and Allah shematrich and oisi, so forth. Look at, there's a Rashi here. So Rashi says, shematrich and oisi, in other words, since the world is oilam kimin hogu noyeg, says, sha'ani yoitzer havlad al korchi umoilidon, strange lotion. He says, I give birth. I'm moilid. I create the child and birth it because, and they force me to do this because the world has to go according to its minhag. This sounds like almost a contradiction in terms. The world has to go according to its minhag. So there's a teva. There's a natural thing. People, a woman becomes pregnant, she has a child. A person plants seeds, the seeds grow. Seems from Rashi that there is such a thing as Eilim Kimin Hogu Noyeg. Because I created this gzera of Teva, this facade of Teva, I now am forced, kaviyochol, to create all of those children. And to grow all of those seeds and to make it all happen. Why? Because it fits with this gzeira, which is really a facade. Because if I'm behind the scenes creating the child, then there is no teva. I'm creating the child. Each child is a creation. So make up your mind. Are you creating the child, or is the child created through the laws of nature? The Teretz is, the laws of nature are there, but I do the creating behind the scenes. What does that mean? The laws of nature, just the facade. It seems to be Mefurish in this Rashi, in Nun Dalet Omid Beis, in the Ben Zion Kamenetsky, who isn't here this week, showed this to me. It seems Mefurish, that seeming contradiction in terms, that the Teva is not a reality. The Teva, I want the world to go, Kumin Hogum Oilam, this is the way I want my world. And I assume, like we said, that that's part of the test of rising above it spiritually. Because if the world is so material and there's rules of nature and it goes according to natural forces, and through all of that I see the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's a different story. So, and but I'm the Yoitzer. He's Yoitzer Umoilid. That's what Rashi says. Oh. So, if that's the case, I just want to, just another, before we continue, but I think this is very important, because the truth of the matter is, the whole Chavis Alvovis, the whole Bitochen is based on this. Like the Rishonim said, we said it in the Hakdoma, that kol habiteach ma'amin, ve'in kol ha'ma'amin biteach. You could have emunah, not Bitochen. I believe in everything, but I haven't internalized it, to bring the menuchas ha'nefesh, the peace of mind, the confidence, and so forth. But you can't have Bitochen without emunah, because who am I trusting? I'm trusting Hashem, so I have to know He's there, He's involved, His powers. So the more we understand the nature of Teva, the more we understand the nature of His gzeiros, the more we can understand, we're capable of trusting Him. So if that's the case, I just want to mention one more thing. I have an interesting thought that occurred to me just this morning. We mentioned last time that the word Nes, miracle, really means a banner. A Nes is an indication of the divine activity in the world. That's what a nes. V'soh nes l'kabetz g'lu yoseinu. That we should lift up, it's a flag, it's a banner, that everybody knows it's a marker. It shows, hey, see, there's a God in the world. A miracle shows there's a God in the world. Now, the Ramban in Parshas Boy, the famous Ramban, talks about Ashkoch HaProtes Nisim Gluyim Nisim Nistorim. The Ramban calls the hidden miracles Hashgoch HaProtis, which he says that a person who doesn't believe in Hashgoch HaProtis has no chelek in Teiras Hashem. He calls it Nisim Nistorim. That's an oxymoron. Hidden signs. A nes means it's a sign, it's a declaration. This is the way it is. It's a nes. V'soh nes l'kabetz g'lu yoseinu. We see the divine involvement in the world. And yet he says it's hidden. Well, is it golui? Or is it hidden? What's going on? So I think that the next step from this line of reasoning that we have is as follows. The concept of Nes is an open declaration, a clear indication. We hold up a banner and say, Ze Hashem kivinu loy. This, you point your finger and say, here he is. Nisim Nistorim, hidden miracles, really have the same ingredients. They're just hidden. The teva is really ness. Nis in this term, what to us appears teva. But we realize that it looks to be a teva. Oh, it was a coincidence. Oh, that's the way things happen. You know, statistically, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. What do you mean? All of a sudden, that one day I made $1 million. That's not a miracle. That's happens. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen. So the teretz is that even the nisim nistorim are really, to the discerning eye, they're really signs. If you look for it, if you're willing to see it, you have to open your eyes. And the blatant miracles allow us to recognize the hidden miracles. Because if there were never any blatant miracles, the hidden miracles would appear too much as that facade that we call nature, that facade that we call teva. But now that there are blatant miracles, we saw Adom, Tzfardea, Kinim, Makas Bechiris, Kriyas, Yamsuf, Givalt. Now when I see the little miracles that happen, you know, it's a different story. And I'm reminded, you know, I guess I should say this as a statement, which is a matter of policy. I'm reminded that today in the world, to keep people interested, you got to tell a story, and you can't just be in the depths, the philosophical depths, or the halachic depths, or the lomdus depths. You know, you have to tell. People like stories today. You know, that's the way that goes the best. The most popular series have a lot of stories. So I want to tell you a little story that took place in the room upstairs, and finally in the room down here. And a number of years ago, and there are many stories. Are the stories that the walls that this building, the stories that the walls of this building knows, that I hope they're not hidden there forever, and I hope the renovations are not going to lose them someplace. But the mice. Let me just tell you this. This was in February 1995, I believe it was. That's right. So Rabbi Schenker, whatever it is, Jep, Long Island, was using the third floor here for his offices, for his programs. And we were here with the yeshiva. And he comes into my office, which was on the floor above here, right above this room, one day. And he says to me, he says, you know, I need your help. There's somebody, we're trying to get some type of a bequest from some relative of his father, and the lawyers are giving some trouble. Maybe you could come with us and speak to the lawyer, tell him what good operation we have, and maybe, you know, he wouldn't interfere with this bequest. If I'm not mistaken, the will was awarding, a person passed away, was awarding the money to her cats, but that's besides the point. Not K-A-T-Z, but C-A-T-S. But I think that was a detail, but that's an interesting
just
detail anyway.
Check.
What? Yeah, that's all we need. I didn't get it. Okay, very good. Anyway, yeah, so anyway, like this. So I said, sure, I'll go to the lawyer, I'll help whatever. So I asked him a question. I said, tell me, what are you looking for? You know, what are we talking about here? You know? So he says, they're trying to get $100,000. I said, $100,000, very good, fine, I'll be glad to help you. 2 hours later, I get a phone call from a friend of mine, did a big deal. He says, I'm sending a check, a donation to the yeshiva, $100,000. Right, beautiful. We're on the way to the lawyer 2 days later, and I turn around to Rabbi Schenker, and I say, wow, that's what Chazal meant when they said, one who goes, who davens, or attempts to help, I guess, davening is a means of trying to help him for his friend, and he needs the same thing that the friend needs, and you're trying to go to help your friend, you get it first. I said, that's what happened. I got it even before as soon as I decide I want to help you. The problem was that he never got his money for 2.5 years. And those 2.5 years, I was telling him, don't worry. And I was telling his lawyer, we had a couple of lawyers from here. And I said, don't worry, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. I said, I brought a raya. I said, because it says, hunen etchilo. He'll be answered first. First has to be the first of a series. If I'm the only one, I'm not first, right? If I'm only, not first. So in order to be first, there has to be a second. I said, there'll be a second, don't worry. Bekitzer, 3 years, practically to the day, I think it was February 15th in 98, so he comes running down over here. No, that was the next day. Wait. He comes again into my office. He says, Baruch Hashem, the judge signed off on it. We're getting the money. So I said, how much? You know, how much you're getting? and not that I wanted a commission, but how much are you getting? He says, $250,000. I said, wait a minute. If it goes with the formula of Hunen et Chila that I'm supposed to get before you because I went to help you. So I got already 100, so there must be another 150 out there that I'm getting before you get yours. So he looked at me like, you know, these naive fools, you know what I mean, that take the rabbis literally. You know, he was not too, and he didn't look at me like that, but it wasn't a very flattering look, let's put it like that. The next day he comes running down. We were standing right here, right over here, I remember. And he says, you'll never believe it. I said, sure. He says, the judge, I'm sorry. I skipped that. I haven't told the story over for a long time. I said, what happened was a couple days later, before he got his check, my friend calls me up from a friend of mine, and he says, remember the yeshiva owed me $150,000? $155,000, that's right, that was the number, $155,000. Says, I did a deal, I made a lot of money, I'm meichel. It's meichel. So I said, hey, 100 I got. 155 is 255. So I run up to Shankar and I say, hey, say there's and he's supposed to get 250. I said, there's another 5,000 out there someplace. So I remember he says to me, you're crazy. Like that, bizarre lotion. You know, it's not the first time I was called crazy, you know what I mean? And there may be some clinical truth to it, but that's what he said, yeah? But get to the next day, he comes running down, and he's standing right over here, and he says, you're never going to believe this. Okay? He says, when the judge signed off on the 250 for us, no, wait, not yet. So he signed off on another five, you hear? For a related project, a different organization, but a related project, which all came from the original request that I went to talk to this lawyer. I said, fine. I said, show me the check, because I wanted a copy of the check. For like, if I tell the story like this, I have the copy of the check someplace. So he shows me the check. His check said $250 and $2,600. So I says, what's this $2,600? So he says, well, they were taking a long time. The judge tacked a little interest on it, you know, like a payment because they were taking. So I said, $250. I got my $250. The numbers were off, $2,600 on such numbers. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? But I wasn't happy. I got the next week, I got the paperwork from my friend with the money, the loan, and what he was meichel. It turned out I didn't owe him $155. The yeshiva owed him $157.5. We were off by $100. I got my money first. So then before he got his check, he had his check already, but I was meichel, $100 of my past salary. And Mimela, we got it. So we got first all that money that we went to get for somebody else. So, you know, when you see this, you say like this. So you could look at this and say, well, this is that's the way the world goes, you know. Things happen like this every day. I don't know anybody here who knows stories like this every day. They do, but they're hidden. They're hidden. They're nisim. It's as much of a sign as Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kriyas Yamsuf. The son nis, it's like holding up here, Zekeli Vandeyu. The only thing is, the sign is hidden. You have to be able to look for it. You have to have an eye for it. You have to appreciate it. You got to look for it. But this, I think, this is the way we have to look. I think certainly as we approach Pesach, if we take that attitude to look at the Teva, Yetzias Mitzrayim taught us one thing. There is no Teva. There is no Teva. The Teva is a facade, as we found the Rashi in Avodah Zorah, Daf Nun Dalet Omid Beis. And the Rabbeinu Shalom wants the world to work with that facade. And the Hishtadlus that we do is part of that facade, that we go through the motions, we put in the efforts, and that's all what we're supposed to do, because we're supposed to live a natural life with the realization that it's all really supernatural. And that gap between living the natural and recognizing the supernatural is really the test of life. That's really where we're supposed to go. Anyways, I just thought I would mention that. Okay, now we got to at least continue a little bit with the Chavos Halavos. Okay, Umehem, we're up to now another benefit of the Balei Bitochon. So I apologize, the sheets got lost, but we'll leave it for next time. If the Yontif, we'll make another set. Umehem, another one of the benefits. Shahabitech belikim yivieno haftochoso alob shlo yavoid zulosoi. If you want to know about the benefits of having bitochon b'Hashem, another benefit is you're not going to serve anybody else. You got nobody else that you're subservient to, because I work directly for the boss. I remember, boy, I'm getting it. I don't know. You know, it's good to tell stories, but there has to be a limit. But I remember I remember once, you know, in the days and the years in Chinuch, so you have differences of opinion, and there is this thing, I don't know, use the word machlekes cholila, but there are such things that. So once we had such an incident in Los Angeles, there was some disagreement with some balabatim and this. So after the whole thing was over and we pretty much came together again, so one of my friends, they asked one of these other guys, says, "What do you have against this guy? You know, what's the problem?" So he says, "No, only one problem." He says, "He doesn't think that he works for the board of directors. He thinks he works directly for God." See, I don't know if it's true, but that's the way they perceived it. Ume habiteach ba'elokim yivieno haftochoso, one who trusts Hashem, that bitoch will bring shelo yavoy zuloso, he isn't working for anybody else. V'lo yekav le'ish, and he doesn't hope or rely on any human being. V'lo yeyache levnei odom, and he doesn't await people to do anything for him. V'lo yavdeim lehisratzes aleihem, and he's not going to service them, and maybe the word servile would be better, in order to find favor in their eyes, in order to get favor that, oh, v'lo yachnif lehem, and he's not going to flatter them. Chanifa means saying inappropriate things to a person, saying to a Rosha that he's such a good person. Oh, you're so wonderful. He's a wolf, and you're telling him how wonderful he is. He won't do those things. Why? Because he doesn't need, that's not where it's at. And he's not going to agree with them anything that's connected service of Hashem. He's not going to go against the service of Hashem because these people, he wants something from them, because I don't need them. And all the things that they have to say and all the threats and everything they talk about won't scare him. I got nothing to be afraid of. There's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. Who are you? He's not even afraid from their arguments because they're afraid. What's... This is not fair. But I remember a time when there was this I've referred to a certain machlekes before, that was when it was just brewing, beginning to brew. And it was interesting. I was standing in front of the whole Bis Medrash and giving a shir in Bitochon. And the people there were sitting there. They were supposed to have their meeting after to begin this whole machlekes. And one of them told me years later how he was like it was so uncanny. Like what's going on here? Here we're coming here to, you know, to make trouble, and this guy standing here talking about bitochon and this and that. It's like, yeah. What do you mean? You can't do nothing. You know. The Gemara says you can't even raise your finger like this unless they're machrizin all of milamalo, unless it's decreed from heaven. So you have no power, you have no koyach, you can't do anything. So if that's the case, there's nothing to be afraid of. Avol yispasheit mi big day toivosom v'teira choydo osom v'choivas tagmulam, and he will be spread away, I guess, freed from the coverings of their good and the need to thank them and to pay them back. He doesn't have any, he doesn't need anybody, he doesn't have needs, he's not dependent, he's not afraid. Look what the Baal Bitochel can achieve, because there's only one koyach. You have no koyach. There's a teva, it's only a facade. I'll be teva, I'm stronger than you. But that's a facade. That's not a reality. My reality is the bitochon b'Hashem. And if he has to be mochiach them and reprimand them, he won't be extra careful in their honor. In other words, he'll be able to stand up to the powerful people and tell them what they should hear. And if they'll embarrass him, he's not going to be embarrassed from them. They go, "Oh, how could you do such a thing? There must be something wrong with you." Say what you want. Don't bother me. Skid, it rolls off, you know, like water off a duck's back. It's nothing. I think he changes the gears here. It means like he won't speak sheker. Lohem sheker. He's not going to lie for them. I'm going to lie. You caught me. You caught me in an embarrassing situation. Now I have to lie. I don't have to lie. I got nothing to hide from you. I got nothing to lie about. Hashem is going to help me. He's my help. Therefore, I'm not embarrassed. And he says, I'm just like a stone. I have nothing to be embarrassed about. Nothing affects me. V'omar al tiro mehem u'midivreim al tiro. Don't be afraid of them and not from their words. V'omar al midivreim al tiro mipneim al teichos. Fear not from their words and for these people. They can't do anything to you. Al tiro mipneim. V'omar al teichos mipneim. V'omar kishomir chozok mitzor nosati mitzchecho. As the shomir, who's so strong that it's stronger. The Shomer was this worm that was able to cut the rock, to cut the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. This is such a power. Nosati mitzchecho, so I have made your forehead. Loisiro oisam, loisechos mipneim. Don't be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of them. So that's one benefit. So this, if you think about it, this is quite a benefit. Because how much of our lives do we spend worrying about people, flattering people, strategizing how to find favor in the eyes of people, hiding from people, we're afraid of them. We did what? I'll never forget, there was a fine yid who used to live in the community here, Harry Hirsch, Zachreinu Levrocha, a wonderful person. So he once told me that he had a successful businessman, but at one point he had, like many people doing business, he went down. And he had to make a chasana, and he had just made the ufruf. He had to make a chasana for his son. And he says he was short $3,000, this was many years ago, for his chelek, whatever it was, of the expenses for his son's chasana. And he didn't have a clue where he was going to get it from. He was out. He didn't have a source, a resource. He didn't have anything. He comes home Monday night. The chasana was Tuesday, Wednesday. Comes home Monday night. And he sees a letter from the IRS. That's all I need. So he says, I'm not opening it. And he sits down to eat dinner. And then, in the middle of the day, he says, am I afraid of the IRS? What are they going to do to me? What could they, what? I guess there's no debtor's prison anymore. You know what I mean? What am I, stupid? He opens up the letter, and he says the result of an audit from his taxes from 7 years ago, a check for $3,000 that owed him. The Baal Bitochen doesn't have to be afraid even of the IRS. There's no one to be afraid of. And the Baal Bitochen, instead of that fear will be translated into Yeshuas. That fear will be translated into Mamash Yeshuas Hashem. Oh, so then he goes on. Let's just do. See, we have a little time for one more paragraph. Umehen shabitech melekim yveu bitchono lefanos es liboy meinyoni ha'olam uleyachil levovil inyoni ha'avido. The Baal Bitochen has another mila. He can turn away his heart from worldly pursuits and focus his heart on his avodas Hashem. Yeah, because what's the biggest paroinu? How do you get the Jews to stop being religious? Make it harder. They're busy. And it's not the pain and the suffering. It's the overwhelming. I'm busy. No time to think. No time to focus. No time to concentrate. I can't. I daven. Here's your opportunity. You're davening. You need help in your business. You can daven. No, but I mean, I'm thinking about this. I learn. Who can learn? I'm spacing out. I can't. I got so many trouble. The Baal Bitochen. There's no trouble. There's no problems. It's all in the bank. There's nothing to worry about. Hashlech al Hashem Yehov Chavuhu Yechal Kalecho. So the Meforshim say, what does it mean? Throw your pickle, your burden on Hashem, and He'll sustain you. It's His problem. Imagine that. If I could take all my problems and throw them on Him and say, it's yours, not mine. That's what the Baal Bitochen can do. So the Baal Bitochen Mela has it. Not only is he not afraid of anyone, but he has a clear mind for his avodas Hashem. He can daven, he can learn, he can do mitzvahs, he can deal with his family because he doesn't have these worries. There's nothing to worry about. He says he will be comparable, and this is the next thing he goes in. We'll go into that next time. Bezus Hashem, Bli Nether. He's comparable in his, and let's see what this is. It's very important. In his menuchas nefesh, in the peace of mind, the tranquility that he has, the rest that his nefesh has, v'roichav liboy, and the wideness, his heart doesn't feel constricted. He has like a harchovas hadas. I got space. Today everybody wants space. That's what kids ask for all the time. They need space, So he has this harchovas liboy, umiyut agosoy, and minimal worry. There's nothing to worry about. I don't worry about my world because everything is fine. Like the alchemist. What's the alchemist? I don't know if we have such things today. He's like this alchemist who knows how to transform silver to gold and copper and zinc and whatever it is, I don't know, to silver. The guy knows how to make the money. He doesn't have to earn the money. He could take the cheap stuff, the raw materials, the stuff that's readily available, and chemically transform it to money. Ah, that's the kind of guy. Through, and he's, remember when they make a comparison, it's exact, because he has a chokhmah and he has a maise. We should understand what that means. And besides that, the Botech Belakim has 10 things even more than that. Let's try to understand this a little bit. What does it mean? He has the ability to transform these raw materials with Chochmah Umaisa, which means that the Baal Bitochin also is transforming the raw elements of life through his chokhmah and through his maisa. Now, I assume that the chokhmah refers to the chokhmah of recognizing that Hashem is in control of everything. So that chokhmah does two things. That chokhmah gives me the peace of mind. Well, no, it starts the other way. Gives me the ability to get anything in this world. I know the address. Imagine that. I know which bank gives away money for nothing. There's a bank out there that gives away free money. I know where it is. They're giving everything for free, whatever you want. They give it, and I know the address, and I know how to get in there. That's a chokhmah, and it's also a maisa. I imagine that has to do with the fact that when I act this way, it isn't just bitochen is not just a wisdom, but it's a maisa. You know, the famous, I guess, the best example maybe of this maisa is Rabbi Yisrael Salant. I don't think we mentioned it yet. Maybe we did. The famous story about Rabbi Yisrael Salant, that someone came to him and said that he needs 10,000 rubles, whatever, and he's desperate and this. And Rabbi Yisrael said, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochen that you win your 10,000 rubles. I guess it was a ticket that could you keep holding on to the numbers, you could still win. So a couple of months go by and the guy didn't win. So he said, bitochen, you know, he didn't win. So he comes to Rabbi Yisrael with a taina. He says, I had bitochen, you know, 100%, and I didn't win. Rabbi Yisrael says, you had bitochen 100%? Yeah, you still have bitochen 100%? Yeah, I have bitochen, it's not working. He says, will you sell me the $10,000 ticket for $5,000? He says, Avada? Yeah, absolutely. You see, had you had the real bitochen, you would never do that. So there's bitochen bechochma, I say it and I think it, and then there's b'maise. Are you living it or are you just talking about it? Is it a word? Is it a fleeting thought? Is it a facade? Is it a pretext? Is it an act? Or is it real? If you have it and it's real and you implement it, closing we mentioned before in the olden days, I don't know, today so much, closing the shop for Shabbos, closing the, not going out on the Lower East Side with your push cart on Shabbos was an act of bitochen, because that's the busiest day, that was the best day for business, and I trust that Rabbeinu Shlomo will provide. Okay, I guess that's where we're up to. So we're going to be next time beginning on the 10 milas of the Baal Bitochen over the Baal Al-Kamil.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.